Welcome to the German Beer Academy. Nice to have you here. Let's have a great time together.
Welcome back, everyone, for another deep dive. Today, we're going to be cracking open a really interesting one, I think. The history of the wooden barrel in brewing.
Oh, very interesting.
Yeah, we've got some great training materials here from the German Beer Academy. And, you know, they say, to brew like a German, you got to learn like a German.
I like that.
So our goal today is to go beyond just the basics of, you know, what is a barrel and how is it used. We're going to uncover some really fascinating historical details along the way. So you'll walk away not just knowing what a barrel does, but really where it came from, how it evolved, and why it still matters in today's, you know, world of craft beer and everything.
Absolutely. And to fully appreciate the journey, I think we need to start long before the first barrel was ever even built.
Okay.
Imagine, if you will, the ancient Egyptians, the pyramids, the scorching desert sun and amphoras.
Okay, amphoras. Those tall, elegant ceramic vessels. We've all seen them. Beautiful, but not exactly practical for hauling like large quantities of beer up north to the land of the Celts, right?
Okay. Right, exactly. Those amphoras, while functional in their own right, they were essentially single use. Fragile for long journeys and not ideal for the wetter climates of Northern Europe. The Celts needed a different solution. And around the first century BC, they had their aha moment.
Yeah.
Why not use what they had in abundance? Wood.
And bam.
Mm.
The wooden barrel is born.
Exactly.
That's some serious ingenuity right there.
It really is. Of course, the earliest barrels were likely made from whatever softwoods were readily available. But over time, oak emerged as the, you know, the superior choice.
Yeah. Durable, flavorful oak. You can't go wrong.
Precisely. Oak could handle the rigors of travel and aging. And it also had that unique ability to impart desirable flavors to beverages like beer and wine.
Which brings us to the Romans. I can only imagine their reaction was something along the lines of oak barrels. We'll take 10,000.
Yeah, their enthusiasm was certainly off the charts. At the height of Roman influence, they were using something like 90% of Europe's oak supply for barrel making.
Wow, 90%.
Which begs the question, what were the ecological and economic impacts of that demand? Did it perhaps even force them to pioneer new forestry practices to keep up?
That's a really good point. It's not something that our materials go into, unfortunately, but it's definitely something to think about. What we do know is that the Romans, much like ourselves, recognized the incredible value of the wooden barrel.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't just about the drinks.
Absolutely not. To really grasp the significance of the barrel, we need to understand just how ubiquitous it was in everyday life. Remember the Vasa?
The Vasa? Oh, you mean that Swedish warship that famously sank on its maiden voyage in the 17th century?
Yes.
What a disaster.
A disaster indeed. But a fascinating one from a historical perspective. When they finally salvaged the Vasa, they found a treasure trove of artifacts, many of which were stored in, you guessed it, barrels.
Of course.
And we're not just talking about ale for the sailors.
Okay, so what else was stashed away in these barrels? I mean, we're talking hundreds of years ago, right?
We're talking coins, clothing, butter, tools, you name it. They likely shipped it in a barrel. It was the shipping container of its day, highlighting just how essential this seemingly simple invention was for transportation and daily life.
I mean, it really puts things into perspective, doesn't it?
Yeah.
The humble barrel.
Yeah.
A workhorse of history. But like you were saying, its reign wasn't meant to last forever. The Industrial Revolution kind of shook things up a bit, didn't it?
It did. It did enter the Age of Steel, a game changer for a lot of industries, including brewing. During the 19th and 20th centuries, steel barrels, they became kind of the go-to. They were cheaper, easier to mass produce, and let's face it, less prone to leaks.
Yeah, that's a good point. So with all these advantages, did wooden barrels just fade into obscurity? Did they just end up as, you know, like rustic furniture and trendy pubs?
Not quite. The story of the wooden barrel, it takes another turn. And this is where things get really, really interesting. You know, as mass production took over, something else was brewing.
Okay.
A renewed appreciation for tradition and craftsmanship.
Yeah. The craft beer revolution, I was just about to say. It seems like craft brewers, they love bringing back the classics.
Yeah.
And not just for nostalgia's sake.
Exactly. They recognized that wooden barrels offered something special, something that went beyond just mere efficiency. They brought back those unique flavors, the time-honored techniques that certain, I don't know, what that only barrel aging can provide. It's about the experience, the art of it all.
You can't mass produce that.
Mm-hmm.
But speaking of what you can produce flavor, let's dive into the heart of the matter. We've talked about oak being kind of the gold standard for barrels.
Mm-hmm.
What is it about this particular wood that makes it so special for aging beer?
Well, it's all about the chemical makeup. Oak is like this complex cocktail of compounds, cellulose, hemicellulose, lignin, tannins. Each one plays a role in shaping the final flavor profile of the beer.
Okay, so it's more than just its wood. It adds wood flavor.
Yeah.
Give us the sciencey breakdown. What's actually happening in there?
Let's take hemicellulose, for example.
Okay.
Think of these as wood sugar. When heated, they break down into different compounds, adding body and contributing to those lovely caramel, toffee, nutty notes that you often find in barrel-aged beers.
Yeah, that makes sense. And I'm guessing the type of oak used plays a role, too.
Absolutely. American white oak, for example, often brings out vanilla and coconut notes due to a compound called vanillin, which is why it's a favorite for aging bourbon. French oak, on the other hand, tends to have more spice and earthiness, making it a classic choice for aging those full-bodied red wines.
It's so fascinating how these subtle variations in wood chemistry can create such distinct flavor profiles. But the plot thickens, doesn't it? Because then we have toasting and charring. I'm picturing giant blowtorches and, like, these skilled artisans out there.
They're not far off. Both involve heat, but they're distinct processes that add another layer of complexity to the final product. Think of toasting like slow roasting. It's gentle, controlled heat that unlocks subtle vanilla spice and toasty notes from the wood.
Okay.
Charring. Charring is more intense, almost like searing a steak. It caramelizes the wood sugars even further, creating those smoky, roasted, almost coffee-like flavors that a lot of people associate with, you know, certain barrel-aged beers and spirits.
So toasting is like adding a sprinkle of spice, while charring is like going all in with a smoky barbecue rub.
Exact.
It's all about finding that right balance for the, you know, the flavor profile that you're after.
Yeah.
This is reminding me of when I first tried a heavily charred imperial stout. It had this incredibly smooth, almost chocolatey smokiness to it, like a campfire in a glass.
Yeah.
But getting those barrels and the time that it takes to age beer in them, that has to be a huge investment for brewers, right?
Yeah.
Is there a way to get those unique barrel-aged qualities without breaking the bank or having to wait years?
That's a great question. And it leads us to, I think, a really fascinating area of, like, brewing innovation wood alternative.
Yeah.
Alternatives to the barrel itself. So instead of, like, getting a barrel, you're doing, well, tell me more. Yeah, think of it like this. What if you could get the essence of the barrel, right? Those sought-after flavors without the actual barrel. Today, brewers have access to a whole toolkit of options. Wood chips, spirals, cubes, staves, you name it. They've probably tried infusing it into beer.
So instead of waiting for the beer to, like, slowly extract those flavors from the barrel walls over months or years, you're essentially just speeding up the process.
Precisely.
Okay.
These wood alternatives offer a faster, more cost-effective way to achieve those, you know, barrel-aged characteristics.
And a lot of times you can fine-tune it a little more specifically, right?
They have a lot more control. Yeah. And there's an environmental benefit as well.
How so?
Using less wood is inherently more sustainable than using entire barrels.
That makes a lot of sense. It's cool how brewers are always finding those new ways to innovate, but still, like, respecting those traditions at the same time.
Yeah.
We've talked a lot about the wood itself. What about the other, you know, crucial ingredient in beer yeast? Does barrel aging have any impact on those little guys?
It does. In fact, when it comes to barrel aging, we can't forget about our friends in Belgium.
Always the Belgians.
Always the Belgians. Mm. They've really elevated barrel aging to an art form, especially when it comes to beers aged in fodders.
Fodders. Those are those massive, ancient-looking barrels.
Exactly. We're talking enormous, often centuries-old vessels that are more than just containers. They're ecosystems.
Wow.
Home to this wild and wonderful array of microorganisms.
Really?
Including a very special type of yeast called Brettanomyces.
Brettanomyces. Now, I've heard that name before. It rings a bell, but I can't quite place it. Refresh my memory. What makes this yeast so special?
Brettanomyces is known for producing a range of unique, often described as funky, flavors. Earthy, barnyard-like, even hints of leather or horse blanket. It's a bit of a dividing line in the beer world. Some people love it, some not so much.
It's kind of like an acquired taste then, like those stinky cheeses some people rave about.
That's a great analogy.
Yeah.
It's all about embracing complexity and appreciating those less conventional flavors.
I like it.
And that's where the true artistry of the brewer comes in. They're not just managing the wood and the beer, but this whole delicate ecosystem of microorganisms within the fodder to really create something special and unique.
So they're almost like conducting an orchestra of flavors.
Exactly.
Carefully balancing the wood, the time, and these fascinating yeasts.
A symphony in a glass.
I love it.
Yeah.
Well, this has been a really eye-opening deep dive. I had no idea. There was so much history, science, and artistry packed into, like, every sip of a barrel-aged brew.
It really is amazing when you think about it.
Yeah, and it really makes you appreciate it even more.
It does.
Next time I'm enjoying a barrel-aged beer, I'm going to be sure to savor every drop, knowing like the journey that it took to get there.
Cheers to that.
And on that note, I think we'll wrap up this deep dive into the surprisingly fascinating world of the wooden barrel. Until next time, everyone, keep exploring, keep learning, and keep those taste buds tingling.
That's it for now. Thanks for listening, and see you soon in the Academy.